The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening right now, email her, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone to Down the Garden Path here this evening, where we continue weekly to bring you lots of information regarding gardening, practical advice for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And as much as I try once in a while to talk my favorite topic of landscape design, because, you know, my focus on great landscapes start with a great plan.
Could I get out and rake yet?
No, still not. Still, yeah. I think you're going to be shoveling tomorrow.
I can't believe it. The first thing you did when you came to the studio, so you better get some salt out there. I go, what?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So welcome, everyone, this evening. As much as I enjoy doing the radio show, and I always aim, like I said, to offer down-to-earth practical tips and advice, I'm excited about tonight's show, which is going to introduce you to another medium where you can find out a lot more information about other, and basically another source for gardening and landscape information. And it is, we are going to be talking about Hortus TV with the president, Lisa Drozdov. She's joining us this evening to tell us all about this network. So I'm really excited. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Lisa. She has been a passionate gardener all her life, and her career has taken her from publishing to teaching at Sheridan College to working as a garden designer. So I'm sure we have a lot in common there, which led to a career in television where her garden expertise landed her a job on HGTV's Calling All Gardeners as a segment producer. Her career continued as she worked in production on several garden television shows, including Mark Cullen Gardening and One Garden, Two Looks. We remember those well. As well as a live broadcast from Canada Blooms that aired for several years on HGTV to a syndicated radio feature for Chum Radio Network called A Minute in the Garden. And that one ran from 2006 to 2009.
I'm jealous.
I know. Once garden shows were no longer being aired on HGTV, which I'm looking forward to talking about where the G went in HGTV, she began working for the Holmes Group, doing both communications and post-production, which led to almost 10 years as executive producer of Holmes Makes It Right and VP of the Holmes Group. Leaving that position in March of 2015, to start Hortus TV. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne. It's a pleasure.
What a bio. So I feel so honored. But I also want to...
So old.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Well, that sounds like an awful lot of stuff.
Yes. Well, I'd like to say, considering March starts tomorrow, happy anniversary on your first year with Hortus TV.
Yes, it's true. Thank you so much. Technically, officially, I launched the network or the channel in August.
Okay.
But I came up with the idea in March. So,
excellent.
So, yeah, I'm going to credit it for a year because that just sounds, I feel celebratory.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. And I'm sure it was a big step leaving a big position to a venture, you know, really.
It's, you know, I don't know if I considered it as much at the time as the risk it was or is. I just was so impassioned and excited at the prospect of doing this garden channel because, like you and I'm sure like millions of other people, I used to enjoy watching garden shows on television. Mm-hmm. They were so inspiring and so comfortable, and you can get so much great information, and they were entertaining. And then they just poof went away. And yet, I know that I knew then that there were other shows being produced in other countries, and we just never got them in Canada.
Yeah.
So I saw an opportunity there, and I just jumped. And, well, I'm still sort of falling without the net, but I think it's great.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because in preparing for the show, I noticed there was a tweet, you know, just a random tweet I noticed yesterday where someone commented about, by the way, where did the G go in HGTV? And that kind of got me thinking, you know, in anticipation of tonight's show, is that's the case, you know? And there's so much else out there in spreading the word and talking about how everybody is into gardening and how there's so many trends, you know, and social media especially, I think. Mm-hmm. And yet the TV channel really just kind of dropped the G, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely they did. I mean, I have theories and I've heard, you know, stories of why it was dropped, but truth is, I guess the network just decided to go in a different direction, mm-hmm. which appears to be real estate and flipping houses.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, their prerogative. But it just seems very short-sighted that, you know, millions of people who enjoy gardening shows and are gardeners. I mean, in Canada, over $6 billion a year is spent on gardening and landscaping.
Wow.
How that isn't perceived as an opportunity for a network to have garden shows, I don't get it. But that's fine. That's their loss is going to be my gain because I'm going to bring people a product and a service and something that they can really enjoy and get their teeth into.
Excellent. Well, that is wonderful. So, I mean, my beginning question was, can you tell me why you started the network? But I think we kind of covered that. You know, you really saw the need.
I did see the need. I mean, and really, it's quite selfish, but I remember, you know, when my kids were young and mm-hmm. when I was a new gardener just starting out, watching Jeff Hamilton shows. You know, TVO occasionally you'd get a show from England, and they were so wonderful. And the old Victory Garden shows on PBS, and they were so informative, and they were just so helpful and inspiring. You know, they really got me keen on growing vegetables and growing perennials, and, you know, there was a whole new perennial movement. I was mm-hmm. so excited. And then it all just went away, and I just think it's sad for me personally, but all these younger gardeners than myself, people who will have, you know, new homeowners, people who mm-hmm. may be in their 30s with a young family,
yeah.
they've got their first home.
Yeah.
How do they get any information? Mm-hmm. How do they learn? I mean, yeah, you can go on the internet and you can go yeah. on YouTube and whatever, but it's not quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the same opportunity and the same level of reinforcement and the visuals. So, you know, I just would really like to be able to provide something for those people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lack. I see them. I mean, they go into garden centers where I happen to live. I lurk in garden centers all the time. And you see them wandering around pushing their buggies, and they're lost.
And they're lost.
And they don't know what to do, and they often can't even get help.
Yeah. And are you one of those people too, where they go to get help and they get like the teenager, right? Who's telling them stuff. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, what do I do? Do I intervene? Do I not? Do I take the gout weed out of their cart and tell them to put it, that they're not allowed to buy it?
That would be a public service.
I kind of usually do. I kind of say, no, you can't buy this.
Good.
And,
I don't. I mean, I'm shy. I'm, you know, one-on-one with people. I would never sort of, I'd be that, but I would love to. I would love to. Because I see disservice, and I don't want to sound negative
mm-hmm.
because I know the garden centers, they're hiring seasonal workers. And,
yes.
And if there is no mentorship and it's just sort of, there's been decades of sort of a gap.
Yes.
A gap in information. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
You know, there's people just need information and they need entertainment. I can't think of anything more entertaining myself than to watch a garden show.
Yes. No, I really do. I think we really are missing it. And for people with busy lives and with families, it is hard to see. I mean, yes, they can go and buy a book or a book or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who's got the time to sit through and read it all? You know, when a half an hour show, they could learn so much more.
Yes. And books do, reference books in particular, have a tendency to be a little intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little information overload. But if you see somebody, you know, building a raised bed and sewing some lettuce in there with a nice cold frame, that's, or, you know, that's great. That's easy. That you get that. You can even potentially DIY it and do it because you've witnessed it. So I just think the television is very, it's a medium that obviously is very successful because people learn from it and they're entertained by it.
For sure. And it certainly has done a lot for the inside the home decorating. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. So I think it's wonderful that you're bringing this to everyone. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm really excited. So how do you go about starting something like this?
Wow. Basically, the inspiration came from Netflix because, Netflix initially got all this older programming and provided it to people at a very inexpensive monthly fee. And then after a time, they began to produce their own original programming and get newer, blockbuster movies, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I'm doing. And initially, the content on Hortus, I've got... actually, at the end of next week, I'll have almost 600 episodes up there.
Wow.
It's vintage Canadian content.
Okay.
And content from the BBC, which has never been aired in Canada. Well, that's not true. Much of it has never been aired in Canada. So, there's older shows that I would have seen 15 years ago, but they're still relevant. And also brand new programs, because they still produce beautiful shows in high def, gorgeous photography, great information. But we've just never had the opportunity. So that's all there, and I license it. Essentially, I rent it from the BBC and from the Canadian producers who own the content for the purpose of showing it on Hortus. And, after a period of time, and it depends on how quickly the Hortus is able to grow, I want to get into original production again.
Okay.
I want to start making shows in Canada for the Canadian audience to show exclusively on Hortus.
Wonderful. Well, I think they're
British
definitely
shows are beautiful,
need,
and I'll never take anything away from them. Then the information is valid, but there is, their climate is not ours.
Yeah.
Their climate is great if you live in Victoria. Great, that's all perfect.
Yeah.
But there's takeaway information and there's valuable information, but their winter is 5 minutes long, and it's over in January when ours is just getting started. So, you just have to sort of adjust your timelines if you're watching a British show in Canada.
Right.
It's all still true, but not quite as early as as they get it.
Right. And plant choice, too, right? There's some things that they can grow that we really can't. Most of Canada can't.
That's true, absolutely. I mean, I personally am a zone pusher. I'm always growing and buying and killing things because I'm testing it. I sort of have cold frames and I wrap things and I burlap things and I do all Gunnera, for example. I just love Gunnera. I look through all the British magazines and I see these fantastic Gunnera plants growing, and they're native to Brazil.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to survive in Oakville without protection.
Right.
And I have overwintered them twice.
Yes.
We'll see what this year brings. It's been a pretty mild winter, so perhaps they'll survive this year too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I just love the plants. Tender. It's a heartbreak. They die.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's an opportunity to buy another plant.
That's the gardening addiction, right?
It is a gardening addiction, absolutely.
Absolutely. So, so you were true to your word. You were passionate about it on TV, but also in your own garden.
Oh, yes. And in fact, I have just not a very large suburban lot. And, my dream is to have, a 5 acres that I could make some fantastic garden with ponds and rills and a formal area and a little herb garden, etc. But in reality, all I managed to do is to get an allotment from my community garden so I can grow vegetables.
Okay.
But I just can't grow vegetables here because I only have a small sunny patch and it's taken up with my roses and my other things.
I just wanted to say that Lisa sounds like, what's her name, Jane Fonda.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, her voice.
Like Jane Fonda.
Yeah, her voice.
Would that I looked like Jane Fonda, but no, sadly.
No, wow. So I couldn't believe it when I first heard her voice. So
that's
and
hilarious.
By the way, I was just on your website, if I may.
Sure. Joanne? Yeah, absolutely.
I was on the website, and I think what you've done for Hortus TV, does that mean horticulture? Is that how you got that name?
Hortus is the Latin word for garden.
Okay.
And yeah, horticulture, the word comes from hortus. So Hortus TV.
Well, I'll tell you something. Just looking as a producer and an owner of a radio station, etc., that is brilliant what you did. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. I've never seen that concept before where people can pay a small, small monthly fee and have access to hundreds of videos, you know, and TV shows and things. It's incredible. What an entrepreneur you are.
Well, you're very generous. Thank you. I never would have put entrepreneur in my job description or my resume, but I guess I am. Yeah. I guess it's true.
Well, to be quite honest with you, I'm a New Yorker, born and raised, and not a lot of things impress me at all ever. and that, I kid you not, I'm telling you the way it is. I'm on that now, and I said, oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That is so impressive. So good for you.
Well, thank you so much. Well, you know, currently, you know, it's only available in Canada, but I would love to expand into the U.S. because I've had several Americans who are aware, and they've heard about it or they've read, you know, ads in some magazines or whatever, and I just haven't been able to afford it. I mean, you have to pay an additional amount of license fee to expand. So that's my goal. I want to get there by the end of next year. Because, hey, there's lots of gardeners there who are frustrated in the same way that we are here.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping Joanne does that with her show here, too, Extended TV.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I love the radio aspect in the sense that, you know, I can be here in my sweats and my ponytail and I'm good.
And you're good. That's right.
So, yeah, he keeps threatening me with putting the camera on. So, yeah.
Oh, well.
But you've got one of my questions out of the way too. I was wondering because many of our listeners are in the U.S. and Canada, so it's good that they can have some information about it. But it's not quite available yet to them. But that's something that they can look for.
And it's sort of a moving target.
Yes.
I would do it tomorrow if I could, but it's just not feasible yet.
Okay.
The company has to grow a little bit before I can make that extra jump.
Yeah. And it's smart business planning, right? To start off small and work your way up. So the website, why don't you give us that website?
It's hortustv.com.
Okay.
HORTUSTV.com.
Yeah,
and everybody who goes, Canadians, of course, there's a free trial.
Okay.
So you can try it out. We don't ask for credit card information or anything. That's just an email, and you check it out. It's very no obligation, no risk, and a 7-day free trial. If you like it, you can subscribe. And if you don't, no harm, no foul. So it's...
And I want to add again, it's very inexpensive.
Yes.
Very. So.
Well, I wanted to make it... accessible, you know, and to me, that's about the price of a cup of coffee from Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
So, once a month, that's a reasonable fee for someone to watch, you know, as much as they want to. And it's an interesting, I talk to my subscribers all the time, and some people are bingers, like they are totally into it. They have watched virtually every episode of every series, and they're wanting more.
Oh, wow.
And they've had to go back now, and they're rewatching because I can't upload enough content to keep everybody, you know, keep those particular people happy. And there's others who are, you know, they dip in. They dip in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they want to have a glass of wine or a cup of tea, and they'll watch it on their laptop, or they'll connect it with an HDMI cable to their television and watch it on a bigger monitor. It doesn't stream directly to Apple TV yet or to your smart TV.
Okay.
That's another future plan.
Yeah.
Right now it's only on the internet, but you can watch it on your TV with an HDMI cable.
Yeah, and I think people are used to doing that now with Netflix, right?
Yes.
And
it's interesting because gardeners, you know, real gardeners, we run the gamut from, you know, 80-year-old octogenarians down to the 25 and 30-year-olds who are, you know, gardening on their terraces and their condos. And a lot of the older people are a bit tech-phobic.
Yep.
You know, and I get it. I get it, believe me. So some of them are struggling, and I have to do a lot of calls and hand-holding to explain how to do various things. Or they get their kids, which is great. They can get a younger person in the family to set them up.
Right. Yeah, I think it would make a great gift, you know, even with Mother's Day coming up, right?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that, Joanne.
You're welcome.
It's
you're welcome.
It's a great gift for Mother's Day.
It absolutely is a great. I mean, you think about how many, you know, Mother's Day gifts, you know, people pick up at the nursery, right? The hydrangeas, yeah. the whatever, all, you know, all the different plants people buy for their mothers, or flowers that die.
Cut
and whereas
and
this, yeah, whereas
this,
something
this
like
won't
this,
die.
It won't right? die.
You can buy someone a beautiful arrangement, or you can buy them a gift, a subscription to Hortus. Well, you know, I used to work as a florist because I am obsessed with flowers.
Ah, I worked at a...
Well, when I was in university 150 years ago, yeah, I took some courses and it was, you know, it struck me as a really nice, you know, job.
Yes.
Sadly, it didn't pay as well as waitressing, so I don't know. It was a bit of a...
We have that in common as well. I didn't take the florist courses, but I did work for a couple of years at a flower shop, and learned that it's a lot of work. It's heavy work. It's heavy lifting.
Scrubbing buckets and scrubbing fridges.
Yeah.
Yes,
lifting buckets. All those flowers. Everybody's like, "Oh, it'd be so lovely to work with flowers all day." I'm like, "Yeah, those flowers, those pretty flowers, are in heavy buckets filled with water."
That's right. And they come in. I mean, that's the shocking part. Mm-hmm. You know, they come in from Colombia in these boxes, and they're all kind of weirdly in some stasis, and you've got to treat them. And oh my God, that's the process of getting flowers from wherever they're grown into some, you know, lucky person's hands.
Yeah,
I think the public has no idea.
No
idea. It would be fascinating for that to be explained. It's a good show for you for the future. Talk
yes,
to a grower,
thank you, thank you.
An
well,
importer.
I've been trying to get a flower that my previous boss to come on the show, so she is a bit more shy and hesitant to come on. But it is a lot of work, and thorn, like, you know what, you have to put the roses through, right, to take the thorns off, and it is quite. I think that might be a whole show there too, behind the scenes in a flower shop. There you go.
Well, that would be great, especially around Valentine's Day when everyone's you know, being gouged for.
Yes.
Horribly expensive bouquets.
Which comes from the grower, not from the poor flower shop owners, right?
Oh, exactly. Yes. They're stuck in the middle, for sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the price of plants, you know, we have, you know, I shop at specialist, obscure little specialist nurseries that I, you know, go and fill up my car with things that are going to die in about a year. But then you go to the local nursery, and they're also, you know, they have to compete with the big box stores who buy in crazy bulk, and the plants are half dead. It's just mind-boggling, the actual growing and business end of the gardening world. Just, it's, you know, I don't understand it, and it baffles me because I don't see the justification for some of the pricing and how things work.
No, it's quite challenging, you know, and as a designer, you know, I'm supplying and recommending certain plants and in certain spots, and then guaranteeing them usually for a year. And yeah, so it's, I'm trying to source them and source the right one and make sure the customer has the right instruction. You know, it's a handholding process. It's a huge one.
Well, you know, that's something I'm working with the Canadian Nursery and Landscape Association and Landscape Ontario with. I'm trying to figure out a way to offer Hortus TV to members of the organization so they can pass it on to their clients.
Wow.
Because it's an opportunity for them to empower and educate their clients.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you as a landscape designer understand that, you know, you only have so many hours in a day, and you can't go get called back every 5 minutes to tend to, you know, how do I grow this and should I deadhead this? So, yeah, as much as you want to keep your clients happy, you can't be all things to all people. So if they could recommend Hortus to that would empower their client, and it would reduce callbacks because plants wouldn't die if they knew how to tend, care for them. So it just struck me that that would be, there's a relationship there and an opportunity. Plus, it could be very inspiring. You know, if someone watches a beautiful garden, they think, I want a pergola, damn it, and a pond.
yeah. But I also think there's another, I mean, again, I'm talking selfishly in the sense that one of the challenges as a designer, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is that when you arrive, you know, the customer has a vision in their head, and as much as you explain and show pictures of, okay, this is your garden after we install it, and then it's going to look like you want in 3 years, really, that there's a state, you know what I mean? It's not, because if I fill it right now, you're going to hate me next year, you know? So it's that fine line. And often have every spring, you know, a couple customers who are a little disappointed by their garden because it's not quite, you know, what they were expecting. And
oh,
that it,
disappointing.
You know, and then it really helps to set those expectations as much as you try to say, you know, it really takes a little bit to get established, right? Because if the garden looks instantly full right now, I mean, then it's completely overgrown in a year and a half or 2 years, mm-hmm. and we're having to take stuff out. So, you know, there's a lot of people who can't really visualize it, even from pictures. So I think to have a show where you can see gardens evolve over time and you know, I think that's you know, I'm sure there's lots of options on the station, but on the network. But I think that's something where you can't have that in a book, you know, having mm-hmm. somebody see that. I think that is a really impactful thing.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, a lot of the shows that used to be on HGTV mm-hmm. or on other show networks, the effect is for an instant garden, and they would throw in whatever was in bloom and looked big,
yes,
and stick it in, irrespective of the fact that it's not going to live in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a shade garden, and they'd put in a whole bunch of daylilies. It's just bizarre, right? They would just, but the uninformed viewer doesn't understand that because they don't know the plants.
Right.
But of course, that the expectations are set that they're going to be able to have that rose blooming under a spruce mm-hmm. tree just because they saw it on television, right?
Mm-hmm.
So educating people is really important.
Yeah.
At the same time, you want to inspire them because, let's face it, who's patient? I'm not patient.
Yes. No.
I'm greedy.
Yeah.
I want all the plants now,
mm-hmm.
and I want them all blooming at the same time. You know, I don't bother me with the details about the fact that the toad lily blooms in the fall, and the narcissus blooms in spring.
Yes.
No, I want it all now.
Yes.
So you want to, there's a fine line. You want to inspire people. You want to, I guess, fill their head with the vision of how beautiful a garden can be. But at the same time, you know, try and be realistic
mm-hmm.
and, Yeah.
And educate. I mean, I think educating them on the terms, educating them on the zones, you mm-hmm. know, there's so much more available that, and I think people will just absorb it a little bit better than they can from, you know, the technical of reading a book and getting overwhelmed with Latin names, that type of thing. So.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm a big Latin name person. I love the Latin names. I love to say them. It makes me feel very important and wise. Well, you know, one thing I'm noticing is this big resurgence in, I'm going to call it younger people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm making air quotes when I say it. You can't see me. But with the CD Saturdays and everyone,
yeah.
there seems to be an awful lot of young families and younger people who are interested in growing food.
Yes.
Sustainable food,
yeah.
you know, locally grown. They know what, it's got no GMOs, they know what soil it's grown in, and I believe that will lead to more flowers and ornamental horticulture coming back.
Yeah, no, I agree. That is a huge request in most of the gardens. I know last season of my designs, everyone virtually asked for a space, or we talked about container, you know, growing tomato plants in containers.
Hmm.
It really was something, you know, the young family, even though they didn't know much, but they knew they wanted a spot to be able to grow vegetables. And and people with decks and with, let's say, not a lot, you know, not a lot of sun, they'd, you know, I'd say, I was able to say, well, you know, we could, on the deck, if you had a few containers, you know, and talk about some options there. So it is definitely, I agree with you 100%. I think that is leading people back to gardening.
That's
really
wonderful.
And paying
well,
attention.
You know, for all roads that get people there, you know, that's
yes.
the right road. And I think, you know, it's important. It's important that people eat good food, healthy, you know, well-grown and affordable. I mean,
mm-hmm.
God knows, with the whole cauliflower scandal of a month or so ago.
Yes.
the cauliflower drama. And, you know, pollinators, too. That's another
mm-hmm.
big
yes.
point of discussion. I guess people are very concerned, rightly so,
yeah.
about pollinators and bees and the fact that, you know, if there's no bees, we're all going to die.
That's
so
right.
Let's try and keep them happy and fed and
yeah, and I think social media has done a good job of keeping both of those things really top of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the definitely from the butterflies and the bees situation, as well as the vegetable gardens and just the, or where does our food come from? You know, and I think that's the, you know, social media for the younger people, that's our way to kind of get them, you know, hook them, really,
yes.
to
yes,
a certain
I mean,
degree.
I'm of an older generation. I'm probably quite a bit older than you and certainly older than the people I've just talked about. And I'm becoming much more comfortable on social media and using it more and more. And it's so wonderful that you can connect to people around the world pretty much instantly.
Yeah.
Because they share your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're right there, and you can have a chat, and you can connect with, you know, some grower in England or in, you know, Southern California or Norway, and talk about common interests.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shared passions. It's wonderful. It's great.
Yeah, and that's where you and I were connected.
That's right.
Right? And many of the guests on my show, it's been really neat to be able to, you know, find the common ground. And we had the Orchid Whisperer from San Francisco on last week. You know, it's been great. I think social media has really helped connect me with a lot of people that mm-hmm. can help share their story, like you are, mm-hmm. about whether it's their book or whether it's their store. And I think it's wonderful. And I think it is a way to reach, you know, a little bit of a different demographic and a different age of people. Right. And mm-hmm. and bring them to gardening. And I think it's going to be wonderful to helping you with Hortus TV.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, you know, part of this, another sort of, I guess, issue, you know, the whole television industry has changed so dramatically in the past, oh, I'm going to say 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's become, and more and more people are cutting their cable.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people don't want to pay the exorbitant rates for what they feel is inadequate content. And then you have the sudden sort of development of services like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or Hortus TV,
yes.
Which, you know, people can now pay for what they want, and they don't have to, you know, get the bundle of, you know, 25 channels of which they really only care about one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, now it's becoming that you can pick and pay for what you like. So there can be a golf, you know, person, and there's a garden person. So you can have, you know, just specialty niche channels like Hortus that appeal to a demographic and to an audience and give them just what they want. And that is a new development, you know. Mm. Television is a model that has to change. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a dinosaur. It evolved in a time when it was obviously the only thing, and it
yeah.
evolved around advertising. And advertisers are very powerful. They're the ones who paid the bills. You know, that's how you get to pay. That's how you get to watch television, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then advertising became less and less effective and less successful on television. And of course, there was the research, the development, and the growth of the internet. And people started to wonder. Well, advertisers started to wonder. Well, why am I bothering? You know, they're not getting their value from television.
Yeah.
And that's part of what happened, is to erode the television numbers and change that. And with something like Hortus, I'm ad-free.
Wow.
There's no ads on
no
Hortus.
No ads, okay.
And it's part of my promise of performance that I will never have advertising.
Wow.
It'll be paid for through subscriptions.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Which is great,
yeah.
because people know that they're not going to get a pre-roll, they're not going to get a pop-up, and they're
mm-hmm.
certainly not going to get any, there's not even going to be clutters of ads on the homepage. No
oh,
ads.
Okay.
What I may do is, when I get into production, I may have it sponsored,
right.
but that would be something quite modest, just the show is brought to you by
yeah.
X.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, advertising is just, it's such a complicated thing, and I don't know, maybe we don't need it.
Yeah.
You know, for something like Hortus in particular.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's great, because I think that will appeal to a lot of people as well, because that, you know, is the way that, you know, a lot of the social media is going, right? Whereas we now have to sift through all those ads, which is making it less and less appealing for you know, and more challenging for small businesses to reach their market, because, you know, the advertisers are taking over, type of thing. So,
well, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, sometimes talk about clutter. You
mm-hmm.
know, you go to, you know, you're on your Facebook or Twitter, and it sends you a link to go somewhere for something interesting. So you go there, and then there's just wading through all the ads
yeah.
and the links, and it's like I give up. I don't have time. There's not enough hours in a day.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, life is far too short.
So as far as a subscription service goes, it sounds pretty straightforward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners can go to your website,
yep.
subscribe with their email for a free trial for 7 days.
Yep.
But and you give no credit card information, which is wonderful, because we all know about those situations where, you know, if after 7 days you don't cancel, then, you know, you're all of a sudden subscribed for life, right?
Yes. No, there's not that negative option.
No negative option. So that's wonderful.
And what happens is you have your free trial, and after 2 weeks, we send you an email that says, do you like it? Do you want it? Because people sometimes actually forget. I mean, they're not.
Yes.
Unless they're addicted, they're going to immediately subscribe. But typically people, they'll try it. They'll think about it. And then it expires. And so we remind them. And they have the opportunity to subscribe at that point. What happens the next time you log in, you're asked, did you want to subscribe now?
Okay.
So it's low pressure. I mean, I'm not a high-pressure salesperson, so it didn't make sense to me to do something. And I'm turned off by that. That's, you know, if I was on the receiving end of that sort of aggressive sales thing, I wouldn't go. I would be kind of threatened by it, actually, thinking it was something very creepy.
Yeah, no, I know. I feel that same way, because everybody's telling me, you know, your website needs one of those pop-ups. And I have a newsletter, so we were talking about giving our, you know, customers or clients support after they, you know, have a design installed. And so I try to do a proactive, because you're right, I couldn't respond to every email and every phone call about every situation. So I started doing a newsletter a few years ago that went out once a month, and it kind of was more, you know, this is what to do in your garden this month, or this is what not to do in your garden that month, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just a subtle sign up in my website. And, you know, and people have said, oh, it should be a pop-up, it should be the first thing, you know. And I'm like, yeah, if they really want it, they really want it.
If they want it, they'll say, yeah, it's not your style. It's No, you're absolutely right. I'm with you. No, let people, if they build it, if they build it, they'll come.
That's right.
That's sort of been in my head as I've done this.
Yes.
And I'm hoping they come. And it's interesting. Gardeners, I think, are like trees. Something happens when the sap starts to flow. Because everyone, in the winter, we all seem to be dormant. There, you know, people were interested, and there was, you know, curious, and people were signing up and subscribing. But now that it's maple syrup time and it's getting warmer or something, all of a sudden, all kinds of people are coming to the site, and it's really picking up. And it's got to be time to either day length or, I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think just the few nice days we've had, I think it gets everybody, you know, inspired, because they can't get in the garden. So what's the next best thing, really?
Start thinking about the garden. Yeah,
you know. And I think the price, you don't mind us saying the price, is $6.99 a month. And I think that's cheaper than a gardening magazine a month, right?
Well, it depends, yes. If you're buying the British ones, it's half that price.
For sure. Yeah, but even the Canadian ones these days, you know, maybe it's pretty close, but...
And it's unlimited viewing. Mm-hmm. It's unlimited viewing. You could see as much as you want.
Right.
It's streaming through the internet. So I guess if you were crazy, and not crazy, like crazy using it, like using it a ton, your bandwidth usage might go up, but you have to watch an awful lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it is, I think, the price is right, in my opinion, anyway.
Okay. Can you tell us, I know you mentioned some of the brand new shows from BBC and some of the vintage Canadian content. Can you give us a little bit more about the type of programming available now?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Sorry, I'm just... the vintage stuff, like Gardener's Journal and Earth's Garden and the Spring with David Tarrant, some of the great Canadian, you know, hosts. And the British programming, we've got Charlie's Wildlife Gardens. That's Charlie Dimmock. She used to be on several shows with Alan Titchmarsh. Planet Patio, Gardener's World, of course, several seasons of Gardener's World. The Gardener's Year and How to Be a Gardener with Alan Titchmarsh. They're excellent shows with, you know, very practical and beautiful month by month or season by season, you know, discussions of what you can be doing, what you can be thinking about, what you should be planning or planting, and a couple of design shows specifically about design, which might interest you.
Mm-hmm.
One is a classic with David Stevens. He's a designer, an award-winning designer. He did many Chelsea Garden Show prize-winning gardens. And he has a show called Gardens by Design, which takes you through the fundamental steps of how to design your space. You know, talking about focal points, mm-hmm. and views, and how to use the space. It's really, really good, solid information. As well as just beautiful shows. There's one called The Flying Gardener. There's several seasons of that, where it's the vistas. It's shot by helicopter. So they fly over Britain and the most beautiful landscapes, and they fly into very famous gardens like Powis Castle or Sissinghurst, and you get a tour of the gardens.
Wow.
And you speak to the gardeners, and then you also talk to real homeowners who want to have a design challenge. Maybe it's a soil challenge, mm-hmm. or they have an exposed or windy site, or they're on horrible clay, or they're on chalk. And so they design a garden that suits their needs based on their soil conditions and the plants. And there's really a wide variety. There's everything. There's design, there's instruction, and there's just beauty.
Wow. Well, that is great. I mean, I think that's definitely the time of year. This is definitely the time of year, you know, to sign up and check it out.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And when I ask about anything in the work, so you're hoping, you know, to bring it to our U.S. listeners within a year or so. And how do you go about finding new shows or new things that you can add?
Oh, well, I mean, I have my contacts.
Yes.
Because I've been, you know, working in the television industry for a long time. So I'm in touch with people in Britain. And
okay.
I actually also am a slightly very curious about British media, so I'm always sort of researching what's aired and what might have aired a couple of years ago in Britain that we just never saw, right?
Oh, I see.
So, yes, I've got a list, a very long list, wish list of what I'd like to acquire, and I'm chasing it down. I'm also chasing down classic North American shows, many of which have just kind of disappeared. And I'm having a real challenge finding them.
Really?
Because, yes, I mean, I guess, you know, once the network let go of it, the rights revert to the original producer. And then some of these production companies have closed and people have moved. And so it's a bit of a detective, I'm being a bit of a detective tracking things down.
Now, some of the shows that you worked on, like Mark Cullen's gardening show and the One Garden, Two Looks, is there any...
Well, I know the producer there.
I would think so.
Yes, and the rights the rights for those are still tied up with the network until 2018. So, which it's a bit frustrating because they're not showing it.
Yeah.
They haven't showed the shows. They've just got them in the basement in a box or whatever, but I can't access them until the rights expire.
Okay. And so then hopefully come 2018,
then I can, assuming we can work out arrangement and there's interest, then I can license them because I would, you know, Mark's show was a good show. It had good information.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, and everyone still talks about the One Garden, Two Looks, too. I mean, that was a popular show.
Yes, Charlie Dobbin and Dennis Flanagan.
That's right.
They're both good people and they're both still working, you know, in the industry and they're really keen and great about, you know, promoting gardening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, they really are. They do a lot for Landscape Ontario, and, that's where Dennis works now, so I see him at all the Landscape Ontario meetings. And, so they both have done a really good job of continuing to promote it, and I think that's where we also need to promote it for... as a career for many young individuals as well, because I think that's a whole other ballgame. That's a whole other show, right? where there really is a demand for qualified and hardworking young kids to start to pick this up and to see the industry as a real career opportunity. So
I agree with you. I mean, between just design or landscape construction and horticulture and agriculture, there's a huge need
Absolutely.
For people who are interested and passionate about this and curious about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And schools, I don't believe schools are promoting this industry.
Yeah, they're getting better. I mean, it's been definitely at very few schools, like a good program at very few schools here in Ontario, I think. And I know it's Durham College has just picked it up in the last couple of years and is trying to, you know, they're still not going to be able to compete with Humber, but they're trying, you know.
Okay.
So it's, and especially the East End, I know the East End contractors hiring is huge because all the kids that graduate from, you know, the other schools that are more in the West End of the city, you know, that's where they live. live, and that's where they, you know, they get into the city or and stay in the West End. And so we really have a huge hiring problem here.
Really?
Out east. Yeah, definitely. And so Durham College is helping with that. They've got some exciting, they have a restaurant, it's going to escape me right now, but they actually have tied it into their cooking classes, because they actually have a school for cooking and waitressing, you know, not food prep and all of that stuff. Culinary arts. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's a more technical word. and they have land where they're actually growing the food. So now this restaurant is teaching the kids right from the people growing it, you know, having them learn the greenhouse and all of that management and growing that food that then they can take right into the restaurant.
Total farm-to-table
experience
right at one college. That's
absolutely
wonderful.
So they're really doing a great job, but it just takes some time, you know, to get that program established and get the kids graduating and out into the economy. So I think the schools are getting there, but I think they need that as much help as we can give them, for sure.
Well, absolutely. Yes, I agree with you.
So, I think that... I'm very excited to tell our listeners. So how else can our listeners find out more about Hortus TV? So your website?
The best way, I mean, I'm on Twitter.
Okay.
And Facebook. Hortus TV has a Facebook page as well. And I'm sharing as much excellent content as I can. And there's so much out there.
Yes.
But if they want to visit Hortus TV on Facebook, that would be great. They can sort of learn more there. They can like the page. Twitter, absolutely follow me on Twitter, or follow Hortus on Twitter, I should say. And the website is, you know, fairly straightforward.
I mean,
it's a website where you can watch videos. There's not a community in place yet or a discussion page. That's something I'd like to develop the site further to allow for, but that's, again, a future plan.
Right. Now, do you do any speaking to promote... You know,
not yet. No, I mean, this is kind of it, Joanne.
Yeah. Okay, well, I might have a few ideas for you. I know,
to promote things.
Yes, well, I might have some, because I think horticultural societies are another big. You know, I'm involved with the Pickering Horticultural Society. I'm a board member there. And I think that's another great way. We're trying to reach and kind of evolve to reach the younger growers and the new homeowners, that type of thing. So I think we kind of, it's a good match, right? You've got the established gardeners who would love these shows on BBC, but then you've got the younger crowd that we're trying to appeal to. So, yeah.
Oh, that's I'll think about that.
Yeah, I think that's I think we definitely need to meet for coffee.
Sounds like a great idea.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've heard some things about Canada Blooms. That's coming up in a couple weeks.
Yes, Hortus TV is sponsoring the stage.
Wonderful.
And it's the best stage. It's the one where all the real learning takes place.
Excellent.
Where the master gardeners are speaking and where you can actually learn some, you know, from people like Sean James. I don't know if a lot of the really good landscapers and designers and growers and master gardeners. I mean, the Unilock celebrity stage is all fine.
Yes.
But I think my stage is the one.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm sponsoring a stage, and I have a booth, and I will be there for 10 days.
Oh, my goodness. Good luck with that, man.
I don't think I know what I've signed up for.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited. So I have I'll be there, and I can answer questions, and I'm handing out coupons. Anybody who wants to join up, they can get a 15% discount. So come and visit me at the booth. Yes,
excellent.
I'm also going to be in Stratford this weekend at the Digit Garden Show.
Okay.
And I'll be in Peterborough in the middle of April.
Are you going to be at the Peterborough show?
At the Peterborough Garden Show.
Oh, well, maybe.
If you want to come out and say hi, maybe
I'll definitely see you at Blooms. And I know I have the coordinator of the Peterborough show on. She's going to be on this show about a week or so before the show, before the trade show. How many times can I say show in one line? So yes, and her name has kind of gone poof right over my head.
Is it Sandy Spramo?
No, I think
it's
Pat. Pat is, I believe, is going to be on the Down the Garden Path with me to talk about the Peterborough show, which I attended 2 years ago, and it's a fabulous little garden show.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny how these things happen. I had planned to do Blooms because, you know, I'm very familiar with
Blooms.
And one of my customers emailed me and said, you really have to come to the the Stratford Garden Show, because it's the best show. And I said, oh, okay. So I checked it out. And then he emailed me again and said, and another really, really good show is the Peterborough one.
Yep.
So I went to, I've signed up for both.
Well, there you go. I think I haven't been to the Stratford one. I have heard good things, but I know for sure the Peterborough one, everybody walks around going, oh, this is what Canna Blooms used to be like.
Oh, yes.
They love it. So
Blooms nostalgia. Well,
yes.
Maybe that can come back. Maybe we can just bring that back.
Yeah. So I think that's a great market for you. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. And,
well, thank you, Joanne. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. I think we definitely need to meet for coffee. So I will follow up with you. I've got so many. My ideas are going spinning with the Hort Society stuff. And
great.
I think that's great. So I will definitely see you at Blooms. I'll be there.
Great. Thanks again.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You have a great night.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, there you go. So please check out www.hortustv.com and sign up for your free trial today and learn more about this great service. And I'm really excited. I think there's going to be lots of great content on there and lots of ways to learn.
So, I think that's a brilliant way, especially when she brought up, because there is no garden, and you brought it up.
Yeah. G and HGTV anymore. That's right.
And the thing is, she found a niche. Is that the word?
Niche, yeah.
And I also think Down the Garden Path should find one. But
I thought I did. I thought
you did.
Their
you know
radio
what?
Was,
you see how cool that is?
Yes.
And now, you know me, Mr. Entrepreneur, and I know our listeners are laughing. Now I'm already thinking of putting you two on a tour together.
Oh, yes.
And getting a speaker's fee. I'm not kidding
there
you.
There you go.
Could you imagine at the table, you got the water sitting there, you got the name tags in front, and people are asking the questions.
There you
go.
There you go.
That's
Well, speaking of speaking, I did want to...
That's why I said this.
Oh, yeah, your nice little segue for me? All right. So I did want our listeners in the GTA or in Durham region know that... there's an Oshawa Home and Garden Show this coming weekend at the General Motors Center here in Oshawa. And I will be speaking at noon on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
So just once on Saturday.
Yeah.
But I'll be talking about landscape design and many of the things I've talked about on the show and why you need it and a little bit on how to work with a landscape designer, that type of thing. So I'm really excited about that. So again, that's this Saturday, March 5th at noon.
Mm-hmm. At the GM Center in Oshawa.
At the GM Center in Oshawa. Mm-hmm. And there's another, as we all know in Durham region, every city has to have their own. Mm-hmm. So Ajax's Home and Gardens show is actually in the first weekend in April at Deer Creek. And I will not only be speaking there, but I will also have a booth. So
I'll
be committed that weekend. So it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will be there having
Excellent.
A booth. So more information will be on my Facebook page. So please take a look at that and continue to follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, much like Hortus TV.
And just to let folks know, for both of those shows, garden shows that you'll be speaking and have a booth, they can purchase tickets at the door.
Yes.
Because a lot of people say, oh, is that advanced and this and that, then I can't get in. No, it's a great family event.
Yep.
I've been to the one in Oshawa. Mm-hmm. And it is a great, there's so much to learn and so much to see, and you are able to purchase at the door. So please consider seeing Joanne and hearing her speak this Saturday, 12 o'clock noon at the GM Center. You can meet your radio personality. She will be signing autographs, by the way.
Thanks, Gary.
She has a new pen. I saw her run out and bought that today.
Yeah.
And then, of course, next weekend is the Ajax one?
No, it's first weekend in April, so
first
it's about a month away. Yeah,
okay.
It's about the
and we'll promote that then.
Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. I'll speak about that as we get closer and I figure out all those logistics, because I don't know when I'll be speaking for that one.
Okay. But, well, if we get you on that tour. See, because we have you, again, folks, we have Joanne set to write a book. I'm pushing her for that.
Yeah.
So we'll get her on the book tour.
Yes.
So there you go. By the way, if someone wants to get a hold of you, Joanne, how do they do that?
The best way is probably email, which is joanne@downtoearth.ca. And that is with the number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a landscape consultation yesterday and working on a presentation for this coming Sunday. I'll be presenting another design. So even though the temperatures haven't quite warmed up, the season seems to be starting, even with all the shows going on. Mm-hmm. Type of thing. So get your landscape design consultation booked as soon as you can.
Because all great, great landscapes. Start with what?
Start with a plan.
Yeah, I think. Yes, I think so.
So I just want to thank everyone for joining me again this evening. And I hope you enjoyed the show. I really, I think I'm excited about everybody to take a look and at least do a trial, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was a great guest you had on today as well. So, you know, people are getting this great information, you know, and especially with Lisa on today, that was a great, also Hortus TV. Folks, check that out as well. That sounds pretty great, actually.
Excellent, excellent. And we will be talking vegetables next Monday.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah. We are going to be talking vegetables with Megan Kane from the U.S. She contacted me and would love love to share some information about growing vegetables in our gardens.
And because Elaine and I were talking about that just yesterday, I think, because I said, you know, Joanne's got a pool in her yard. So she says a lot of times she doesn't have a lot of room.
Right.
But she grows vegetables in pots, correct?
That's right.
And I said to Elaine, I want to try that this year. I've never done that.
Yeah.
So I think that would be something really interesting to listen to and learn.
Definitely, because you have more than most of your sun is actually closer on your deck or closer to the house,
that's
right?
Correct.
Where I think it'd be easier to put vegetables in pots. So
I want to try that this year.
Yeah, so I think that's a great idea. So we're going to learn more about that next week. So thank you, everyone, once again, for joining me down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Bye for now.
You have been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.